During the time of Christ, because of the prophecies of Daniel, all of Israel expected Messiah to appear. Remember the 70 weeks in Daniel, and now they expect him appearing now again because they've got the gap, the week, 69th week, and the 70th week is this great gap. But if you compute it, all of the prophecies in the Old Testament were seen to be fulfilled, except the one in Daniel, at the time of Christ. And so, at the time, in and around the time of Christ, there were over 400 people that claimed to be Messiah. Now, this time, this point in time in which the Holy Spirit came upon, or the angel of the Lord came upon Mary and she conceived, there was all, I want to try over the next few days or a few times we meet to create in you the same expectancy that was in the nation of Israel at that time. And so they studied and read the same way we read the New Testament, a whole lot of things. They studied the book of Enoch. They studied the Sibylline oracles. They studied the book of Jubilees. They studied the Psalter of Solomon. And all of these books that are not now in our consciousness were books that they routinely studied during the course of the synagogue. And I'm going to read some of the passages from these books that indicate that the time of the Messiah is near. Okay? Now, this first one is from the Sibylline oracles. Does anybody...
Are these in the Apocrypha, or are they all extra, just out there kind of books?
No, they're the what they call the pseudo.
Okay.
But they were studied as much as the letters of Paul were in the first century, or they were studied as much as the Gospels were in the first century. You understand that? Because the only thing that was considered scripture was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
So these were like studies that were published, kind
of. Oh yeah, letters that were published all over.
These are like rabbis.
They're from many different sources. Just like, well, okay. I'm only going to read the passages that are connected with a Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, okay? Then indeed the Son of the great God will come, incarnate, likened to mortal men on earth, bearing four vowels, and the consonants in him are two. Now, for years I've threatened to teach on the meaning of the alphabet and the meaning of the vowels, points. So maybe I'll have to know.
It's like the numerical thing.
Okay. Yeah.
You can tell a little bit.
And they all had to march by and give their names or something like that.
What?
You told a story one night about how all the letters had to march by God and get their names.
Bearing four vowels and the consonants in him are two. I will state explicitly the entire number for you. For eight units, an equal number of tens in addition to these, and eight hundreds will reveal the name. Now, the name Jesus, written in Hebrew and in Greek, for that matter, in the ancient numerology system, the name Jesus has the numerical value of 888.
Cool.
Now, eight, obviously, each of the numbers has spiritual significance. Six is the number of man. 6666 is the highest that man can be. Seven is the number of the rest, or the Sabbath. But the rest or the Sabbath isn't the goal. Eight is the goal. Eight is the resurrection.
Which one's perfection, seven or eight?
Well, perfection, and that's just garbage. It's never been taught that. That's a modern meaning.
I know. 666 always tries to achieve 7, though, right?
Tries to achieve rest.
That's all, just rest. If I get all the way.
If you go to some, you know, some church, they'll tell you 7 equals perfection. It doesn't. It equals rest. The goal of time and space isn't rest. The goal is resurrection. For 8 units, an equal number of 10s in addition to these, and 8 hundreds will reveal the name to men who are sated with faithfulness. The name is revealed only to those who are in the status or in the position of faithfulness. Do you understand that during this time, mystics spent their entire life trying to figure out these things? They hid away in caves, away from everybody. They had these massive charts of the astronomy and astrology and numerology, trying to figure out what this. It's the same as the reasons that the magi, the priests from Persia, traveled halfway across the known world, because from the other way, not from numerology, but from the stars, they saw that it was the time for the desired of the nations to appear. So these three guys who weren't like, they were like equivalent of, they were equivalent of Supreme Court justices. Sold everything they had and traveled halfway across the known world to pay homage to a baby. Now, and this is what gets me in this.
They didn't know they'd find a baby, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Because of the coma, mm-hmm. and the Virgo. Oh.
Daniel 12.
And Daniel, it's in Daniel 2, and in Numbers 25. I can't tell you how badly we've trivialized this.
That makes sense. While you were gone, we stood a little bit. When Jesus says, "Verily, I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." I mean, that I always thought, like, oh, just the Jews, but it was more than that. It was, you know, all these multicultural guys.
Yeah, the Sibylline oracles were read in every culture.
But now it's kind of the point where nobody cares.
That's why the name is only revealed to the men who are, you know what sated means?
Mm-hmm. Satisfied, full,
filled.
Completely filled, filled to the point of overflowing with faithfulness. But you, consider in your heart Christ. Now again, this Christ wasn't his last name, but Christ was his title. HaMashiach, Messiah, the desired one, the Koma, the Son of the Most High, immortal God. Now, the Sibylline oracles were written 500 BC. They weren't written by a Jew. They were written, well, it's hard because sometimes the Sibyl was the name that they gave to a seer. So the Sibylline oracles are more than likely a collection of a whole bunch of these seers, the writings of the seers. It's kind of a weird coincidence, but when Bloom and I went on this trip to one of the paintings we got was Tintoretto's Sibyl, and it's where she had cut off the head and the painting of Sibyl is incredibly beautiful, but she had cut off the head with a sword and was holding the head of the false head, the false reality. And I wanted that painting so
much. This is in a tube under a Ferrari.
It's in a tube in a Ferrari. Not in Lebanon, it's in Istanbul. But you, consider in your heart Christ, the Son of the Most High, immortal God. He will fulfill the law of God. He will not destroy it. Bearing a likeness which corresponds to all types. And he will teach everything. Priests will bring gifts to him, bringing forward gold, myrrh, and incense. For he will also do all these things. But when a certain voice will come through the desert land, bringing tidings to mortals, and will cry out to all to make the path straight and cast away evils from the heart, that every human person be illumined by water, so that being born from above, they may no longer in any respect at all transgress justice. But a man with a barbarous mind enslaved to dances will cut out this voice and give it as a reward. Then there will suddenly be a sign to mortals, when a beautiful stone which has been preserved will come up from the land of Egypt. Against this the people of the Hebrews will stumble, but the Gentiles will be gathered under his leadership. This is written 500 BC. It was written by a non-Jew. Pretty awesome. I want to try to cause each of you to have the expectancy that existed at the time when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. And that's that will be, then if I can do that, then the celebration of Hanukkah will be real. And the celebration is going to be, the period is from the 6th through the 16th. We're going to celebrate it on the December 12th. Okay? For they will also recognize God who rules on high on account of this man's path in common light. For he will show eternal life to chosen men, but will bring the fire upon the lawless for all ages. Then indeed he will cure the sick and all who are blemished, as many as put their faith in him. The blind will see and the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, and those who cannot speak will speak. He will drive out demons, there will be a resurrection of the dead, he will walk the waves, and in the desert place he will satisfy thousands with loaves.
Wait a second.
You sure that's not
us? Hold on a second.
This is not out of Matthew, Mark.
So that's definitely a seal.
These guys didn't read the New Testament.
This was written 500 years.
I remember we talked about, he could have cured everybody of their sickness, he could have fed all the hungry, but instead he just did certain things.
Why did he do it?
Well, yeah, just to show that we talked about how just to show that he could.
To show himself that he could.
Right, but if he had read that.
Certainly did.
Exactly. So, it wouldn't be just coincidence that he just happened to be, with loaves. It's cool.
Yeah, there's
Uyu.
That's Uyu. It's real Uyu. It gets Uyu-er.
Say that 3 times in a row real fast. I can do off of the song.
I just remember, we read something the other morning. I don't know if it was you read it or who it was, but the part of in the breakfast meeting, the part about where even though he were a son and he cried to his father and he knew that he was heard, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered, that we've read 100 times, but for the first time I realized that what it says is he knew, he prayed to God about the problem, what he considered a problem, and he knew that God heard him, and he still went through the problem. God didn't take the problem away. I never heard that before.
That rings a bell.
I never heard that before.
Yeah.
And the leftovers of these will fill the baskets for the hope of the peoples. Mm-hmm. And then Israel, intoxicated, will not perceive, nor yet will she hear, afflicted with her weak ears. But when the raging wrath of the Most High comes upon the Hebrews, it will also take faith away from them, because they did harm to the Son of the Heavenly God. Then indeed Israel, with abominable lips and poisonous spittings, will give this man blows. For food they will give him gall, and for drink, vinegar. Impiously smitten in breast and heart with an evil craze, not seeing with their eyes, more blind than blind rats, more terrible than poisonous creeping beasts, shackled with heavy sleep, even while they wake. You understand why these books aren't read anymore?
Yeah, I was going to say, why have we never heard this before back for the last 30 years?
I've never heard of it at all until tonight.
I've heard of the books, but never heard of read.
Never. I've never heard any preacher anywhere speak of what you're speaking of tonight.
There it is in print.
I mean, you'd leave the church if you knew that was in.
I'll let you go. Copy.
You'd hear that and you'd go, wow.
There it is in a book anybody can buy.
Yeah.
That's what amazes me. These things, somebody printed that. You can buy that. That's not hidden.
But when he will stretch out his hand and measure all and bear the crown of thorns, they will stab his side on account of this. For 3 hours there will be monstrous dark night in midday. And then indeed the temple will effect a great sign for men. And when he goes to the house of Adonis announcing the resurrection, but when he comes to light again in 3 days and shows a model to men and teaches all things, he will mount on clouds and journey to the house of heaven, leaving to the world the account. Named after him, a new shoot will sprout from the nations of those who follow the law of the Great One. But also after these things there will be wise leaders, and there will be thereafter a cessation of prophets.
So different times in the New Testament, how, like when he rode in on an ass or things like that, when it said that it had, so let it be fulfilled. These are the points that we're talking about, right? Not just in... I always wondered about that.
Well, in Zechariah, it says, you know, he will ride in on the colt of an ass. But there are there are many other books that. And, well,
that's what's always fascinated me about the will of God, and about, you know, exactly what's supposed to happen is exactly what happens. It's like what came first, the chicken or the egg. When you're in time, it's like, did he do it first, or was it written first, and he did it because it was written?
Yeah.
You know, from in time. Yeah. It's just perfect.
For a blessed man came from the expanses of heaven with a scepter in his hand, which God gave to him. And he gained sway over all things well, and gave back the wealth to all the good which previous men had taken. He destroyed every city from its foundation with much fire, and burned nations of mortals who were formerly evildoers. And the city which God desired, this he made more brilliant than stars and the sun and moon. And he provided ornament and made a true temple, exceedingly beautiful in its shrine, touching even the clouds and visible to all, so that all faithful and all righteous could see the glory of the eternal God, a form desired, east and west sang out the glory of God, for terrible things are over. No adulteries or illicit love of little boys. No murder or din of battle, but competition is fair among all. In the last time of the holy people of God, when thunders on high, the founders of the greatest temple accomplishes these things.
Is that something different? That sounded like a different voice.
It was a different book.
A different book.
Yeah. It was probably written by a different civil.
Are we
going to
be reading from
the notes
for a while? Hmm.
Okay.
I got to.
You got these? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun to read them.
How many books are there?
Well, there's two volumes of the Old Testament pseudepigraphic. I can never pronounce that word.
Pseudepigrapha.
Something like this just gives like a deeper appreciation for God's stuff or something, though. At least for me, I mean, to know how far back it goes and how the majesty of it, it takes away just
shows how far we've denigrated.
Yeah, I mean, these books today in the Bible bookstores, you know, Philippians or something, you know, God's promises in Philippians or, you know.
The earth will sweat when there will be a sign of judgment, and a king will come from heaven who is to judge all flesh and the whole world forever when he comes. Both faithful and faithless men will see him, the Most High with the holy ones at the end of time. He will judge the souls of flesh-bearing men on the tribunal when the whole world becomes barren land and thorns. Men will throw away idols and all wealth. Fire will burn up land, heaven, and sea, pursuing the hunt, and will break the gates of the confines of Hades. Then all the flesh of the dead of the holy ones will come to the free light. The fire will torture the lawless forever. Whatever one did secretly, he will then say everything. For God will open dark breasts with lights. A lament will arise from all, a gnashing of teeth. The light of the sun will be eclipsed in the troops of stars. He will roll up heaven, He will roll up heaven. The light of the moon will perish. He will elevate ravines and destroy the heights of hills. No longer will mournful height appear among men. Mountain will be equal to plain, and all the sea will no longer bear voyage. For earth will then be parched with its springs. Bubbling rivers will fail. A trumpet from heaven will issue a most mournful sound, wailing for the defilement of limbs and the woes of the world. The gaping earth will then show the abyss of the nether world, and all will come to the tribunal of God of the King. A river of fire and brimstone will flow from heaven. There will be a sign for all men, a most clear seal. The wood among the faithful, the desired horn, the life of pious men, but the scandal of the world. Illuminating the elect with the waters and 12 streams, an iron shepherd's rod will prevail. This is our God, now proclaimed in acrostics, the King, the immortal Savior, who suffered for us. Moses prefigured him, stretching out his holy arms, conquering Amalek by faith, so that the people might know that he is elect and precious with God his Father, the staff of David and the stone he promised. The one who has believed in him will have life, for he will come to creation, not in glory, but as a man, pitiable, without honor or form, so that he might give hope to the pitiable. He will give form to perishable flesh and heavenly faith to the faithless, and he will fashion the original man, formed by the hands of God, whom the snake craftily caused to err, to go on to the fate of death and receive knowledge of good and evil, so as to abandon God and serve mortal customs. For the universal ruler took him into his council, first from of all from the beginning, and said, "Let us both, child, make mortal tribes copying our likeness. Now I with my hands, then you with the word, will tend our form, so that we may produce a common construct. Mindful, therefore, of this resolution, he will come to creation, bearing a corresponding copy to the Holy Virgin, illuminating by water at the same time through the hands of the elders, doing all with the word, healing every disease. He will stop the winds with the word. He will calm the raging sea by walking on it with feet of peace and with faith. From loaves of fishes of the sea he will satisfy thousands in the desert, and taking all fragments left over, he will fill baskets for the hope of the peoples. He will call on the souls of the blessed. He will fill the wretched, who will do good in return for evil when they are mocked. Beaten and whipped, desiring poverty, perceiving everything and seeing everything and listening to everything. He will observe the heart and lay it bare for trial. He himself is hearing and mind and sight and reason of all who creates forms, to whom everything is subject, who saves the dead and cures every disease. Later he will come into the hands of lawless and faithful men. They will give blows to God with unholy hands and poisonous spittings with polluted mouths. He will stretch out his back and give it to the whips, for he will hand over to the world the Holy Virgin. Beaten he will be silent, lest anyone recognize who is he, whose son, and whence he came, so that he may speak to the dead. And he will wear the crown of thorns, for made of thorns the crown of the chosen men is an eternal delight. They will stab his sides with reeds on account of their law. For by wind shaken by another wind, the inclination of the soul are turned from wrath and change. When all these things of which I have spoken are fulfilled, then for him every law will be dissolved, which from the beginning was given in teachings to men on account of disobedient people. He will stretch out his hands and measure the entire world. They gave him gall for food and vinegar to drink. They will show forth this table of inhospitality. The veil of the temple will be rent, and in midday there will be dark, monstrous night for hours. For no longer with secret law and temple must one serve the phantoms of the world. That which had been hidden was again made manifest when the eternal sovereign came down to earth.
Can you say again what office Peter's had and what place they have with the Hebrews? They were forbidden
in the Hebrews.
Mm-hmm. Were they housed and fed and all those things by other parties, or were
this in another culture, right?
Caves.
Well, yeah, some like in when I went to Greece, I forgot the name of it. Oracle of Delphi. I mean, this is way, way up in high mountains, and it's an incredible edifice and temples. I mean, they were revered above all people. A prophet in Israel. In Hebrew, when you read this stuff, you'll see there's a whole lot of bullshit. And if something they said wasn't right in Israel, then they were killed. And every one of the writings were burned. You will come to Hades announcing hope for all, the holy ones, the end of ages, the last day, and he will complete the fate of death when he has slept the third day. And then returning from the dead, he will come to light first of the resurrection, showing a beginning to the elect. Having washed off their former vices with waters of an immortal spring, so that born from above, they may no longer serve the lawless customs of the world. First then the Lord was seen clearly by his own, incarnate as he was before, and will show in his hands and feet four marks fixed in his own limbs. East and west, south and north. For so many kingdoms of the world will accomplish the unlawful, blameworthy action as our archetype. Rejoice, holy daughter Zion, who have suffered such. Your king himself comes in, mounted on a foal, appearing gentle to all, so that he may lift our yoke of slavery, hard to bear, which lies in our neck, and undo the godless ordinances and constraining bonds. Know that he is your God as he is the Son of God. Honor him and keep him in your heart and love him from your soul and bear his name. Set aside the former customs and wash from his blood, for he is not propitiated by your laments or your prayers. Since he is imperishable, he pays no attention to perishable sacrifices. Except when intelligent mouths bring forth a hymn, know who he is. And then you will see the begetter.
It's amazing to me that, it wasn't for him. I mean, he did all that for his father.
Amen.
It wasn't about him. It was
amen.
Pretty amazing.
Did the Sanhedrin or the Sadducees, have they read any of that stuff?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
you remember?
Seems weird that they, you know.
No, just listen.
Oh, yeah.
They knew what they were doing.
Listen.
Kai, 1 minute. He knew what he was doing.
Where is that?
I wanted to make sure that he wouldn't be resurrected, though, right?
Yeah.
That they...
Tell us what you're looking for, so the Bible in Jeopardy.
It's where the high priest Caiaphas says it's better for one man to die than for the whole nation to perish. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation." And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." And this spake he not of or from himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation.
You suppose he understood to the point of he knew he had to do it?
Probably.
Sure, sounds like it. You guys don't know what you're talking about. I mean, you saw the fuller implication, not just the Romans.
But it doesn't make him a good guy.
No, he's not a good guy. Then in time all the elements of the world will be bereft, air, land, sea, light of blazing sun, and heavenly dome and night of all days will rush together into one, into an utterly desolate form, for all the stars of the luminaries will fall from heaven, and no longer will well-winged birds fly on the air, nor will it be walking on earth, for all wild beasts will perish. There will be no voices of men or beasts or birds. The world in disorder will hear no useful sound. The deep sea will resound as with a sound of a threat. All the swimming creatures of the sea will die trembling. No longer will a ship bearing cargo sail on the waves. The earth being bloodied by wars will bellow, all the souls of men will gnash their teeth with the wailings and panic of the lawless souls, dissolving with thirst and famine and pestilence and murders, and they will call death fair and will evade them. For no longer will death give rest to those or night, often they will make requests of God who rules on high in vain, and then he will manifestly turn away his face from them. For he gave 7 days of ages for repentance to erring men through the intercession of the Holy Virgin. You want to hear any more? God himself showed me all these things in my mind, and he will fulfill all the things which are spoken through my mouth. I know the number of sand and the measures of the sea. I know the recesses of earth and murky Tartarus. I know the numbers of stars and trees, how many tribes of four-footed animals, swimming creatures and birds that fly, and men that are and that will be, and the dead. For I myself fashioned the forms and minds of men, and I gave right reason, and taught understanding. I who formed eyes and ears, seeing and hearing and knowing every thought and sharing the knowledge of all, being within, I am silent, and later I myself will test and bring about whatever any one of the mortals did in secret, coming out also in the tribunal of God and telling to mortals. I understand the dumb, and hear I one who does not speak, and how much is the total height from earth to heaven. Beginning and end I know, I who created heaven and earth, for all things are from him. He knows what is from the beginning to the end. For I alone am God, and there is no other God. They decree an image fashioned of wood to be mine, and shaping it with their hands a speechless idol. They honor it with prayers and unholy worship. Abandoning the Creator, they worship licentiousness. All have gifts from me, but give them to useless things. And they think all these things useful, like my honors, make burnt offerings at meals as to their own dead. For they burn flesh and sacrifice bones full of marrow on altars. They pour out blood to demons and light lamps for me, the giver of light. Mortals, pour your libations of wine as if to a thirsty god, getting drunk to no purpose for useless idols. I have no need of your sacrifice or libation or polluted burnt offerings or most hated blood, for they will do these things to the memory of kings and tyrants from dead demons, as it were, as if they were heavenly beings, performing a godless and destructive worship. Godless ones also, who call their images gods, abandoning the Creator, thinking to have all hope and life from them, trusting in dumb and speechless things with evil results, they are ignorant of any good end. I myself purpose two ways of life and death, and proposed to the judgment to choose good life, but they turned eagerly to death and eternal fire. Man is my image, having right reason set for him, you a pure and unbloodied table, having filled it with good things, and give the bread to the hungry, and gave and drink to the thirsty, and clothes to the naked body, supplying from them from your own labors with holy hands, accept the afflicted, and stand by the suffering, and provide for me, the living one, a living sacrifice, sowing now on water, so that I also may one day give you immortal fruits, and you will have eternal life, an unfading life, when I test all by fire. For I will melt all things and separate them into clear air. I will roll up heaven, open the recesses of the earth, and then I will raise the dead, having undone fate and sting and the sting of death, and later I will come to judgment, judging the life of pious and impious men. I will set ram by ram and shepherd by shepherd and calf by calf near each other for trial. Whoever are convicted in the trial because they were exalted and stopped the mouth of all, so that they in envy could equally subject those who act in holy manner, ordering them to be silent, pressing on for gain, and will depart then as not approved by me. No longer you will say in sorrow, it will be tomorrow, or it happened yesterday, nor worry about many days, nor spring, nor winter, nor summer, nor autumn, nor sunset, nor sunrise. For I will make a long day forever, and the light will be desired. Self-begotten, undefiled, everlasting, eternal, master of heaven in might, measuring the fiery breath, he holds the scepter of thunder with a rough firebrand, and he soothes the peals of deep-sounding thunderbolts. Storming the earth, he restrains the rushing noises, he dulls the fiery whips of lightnings, he contains the unspeakable pourings of showers and storms of icy hail, missiles of clouds and attacks of winter. For they bear witness to each thing that you yourself decide to do and approve in your mind. With your Son, before all creation, you shared deliberations. With equal breast, fashioner of men and creator of life, him you addressed with the first sweet voice from your mouth. Look, let us make a man like in all respects to our form, and let us give him the life-supporting breath to have. Though he is mortal, all things of the world will serve him. When he is fashioned of clay, we will subject all things to him. These things you have said to the Word, and all was done in your heart. All the elements together obeyed your command, and eternal creation was arranged for a mortal creature. Heaven, air, fire, earth, land and sea, current, sun, moon, chorus of stars, mountains, night, day, sleep, walking, spirit and motion, soul and intellect, skill and voice and strength, and wild tribes of living creatures, those of swimming creatures and birds, walking creatures and amphibians and serpents and things of double nature, for all things were arranged spontaneously under your heavenly leadership. We are so far beyond behind these people.
You hear this and you think of that Melito homily. And you don't even have to understand it. That's the neat thing about it. It's not, what is it, deductive?
It's inductive.
Yeah, it's just, you just sit there and it comes over you. It's just.
You don't even have to know the word.
Yeah.
It doesn't nothing like this is written these days. Nothing.
Really, you don't have to understand it.
There's so many books now.
What? Lots of self-help.
Self-help. There you go. It's the opposite.
Okay, one more section. In the last times, he changed the earth, and coming late as a new light, he rose from the womb of the Virgin. Coming from heaven, he put on mortal form. First, then, Gabriel was revealed in his strong and holy person. Second, the archangel also addressed the maiden in speech. Receive God, Virgin, in your immaculate bosom. Thus speaking, he breathed in the grace of God, even to one who was always a maiden. Fear and at the same time wonder seized her as she listened. She stood trembling, her mind fluttered, while her heart was shaken by the unfamiliar things she heard, and again she rejoiced, and her heart was healed by the voice. The maiden laughed and reddened her cheek, rejoicing with joy and enchanted in her heart with awe. Courage also came over her. A new word flew in her womb. In time it was made flesh and came to life in the womb and was fashioned in mortal form and became a son by virgin birth. For this is a great wonder to men, but nothing is great and wonder for God the Father and the God the Son. The joyful earth fluttered to the child at its birth. The heavenly throne laughed and the world rejoiced. A new, wondrous, new shining star was venerated. The newborn child was revealed, and Bethlehem was said to be the divinely named homeland. Be humble in heart, hate bitter power, and above all, love your neighbor as yourself, and love God from the soul and serve him, and therefore, we are also of the holy heavenly race of Christ, and we are called brethren. Having a remembrance of joy and worship, we walk the paths of piety and truth. We are never allowed to approach the sanctuaries of temples, nor to pour libations to statues, nor to honor men with prayers, nor with delightful scents of flowers, nor with gleams of lamps, nor even to embellish them with offerings. Nor with the breaths of incense sending up a flame on altars, nor with libations from the sacrifices, rejoicing in gore, to send blood from the slaughter of sheep as a proprietary offering for earthly penalty, nor to defile the light of the sky with smoke from burnt offerings, and polluted breezes from a fire that burns flesh. But rejoicing now with holy minds and glad spirit, abundant love and hands that bring good gifts, with gracious psalms and psalms appropriate to God, we are bidden to sing your praises as imperishable and pure from all deceit. God, wise, begetter of all.
Is that one written 500 BC?
It says it is.
Gee. Did the first sentence of that, when I heard that first sentence, is that faith cometh by hearing? I mean, she was impregnated by hearing what Gabriel said?
Could be. It could happen.
that's an even wilder. That's explosive.
So I wonder if
it's repeated in each.
What?
I wonder if you look just like her.
Like Mary?
Nobody wasn't very pretty, but
her heart was healed by what she heard.
And like Crystal said, too, I'm wondering if he read all this stuff when he grew up.
What do you mean? He was in the same position. No, he's talking about Christ.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He was.
Well, he would. They would have access to this.
Yeah, remember the bit when he was like 12 or 13 and said that the doctors of the law marveled at what he knew?
See, what happens, what you have to see is that as Christ searched out the scriptures, as he went to the feasts, there was a slow dawning awareness of who he was. Until finally when he was 30, it was who he was announced and I mean, when he was ready to hear, then the audible voice of God, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Well, the same thing is going on in us. As we celebrate each feast, as we search the scriptures, we find out we are the bride. And that dawning awareness will come until at the sound of the trumpet we'll be called out. And then the moment we're called out, the purpose of time and space will end, and it will be no more.
he just described there's a period of 30 years. The beginning of the 30 years, Mary knows that she knows that she knows. And at the end of the 30 years, he knows that he, and at some, she goes this way and he goes that way. And they cross at some point. You know when he was a baby, she told him.
And then she forgot.
Well, the wise men
like
knew.
Us.
Wise men knew. I would give my... No, not that. I'd give my right finger.
Not your friend. You might as well go ahead and give it.
For a book, their holy book was called the Zend Avesta. It was the holy book of the Magi. And they were the priestly tribe of Persia. And the three wise men were the three leaders of that priestly tribe. And their holy book was the Zend Avesta. And it prophesied and it the birth. And and it's lost in antiquity.
So do our Orthodox Jews just restrict themselves to the Torah and the Mishnah? And that's it? And the Talmud?
Well, there's no such thing as a Jew.
Well, practicing.
The people that call themselves Orthodox Jews do.
Clear.
No, the Jews, the last Jew, there's no more.
But the people that think they're Jews.
Yeah, the people that think they're Jews. I mean, that do their, they're keeping their law.
Supposedly.
Where those people black in on those guys.
And when, you know, going up to, people going up to rabbis and saying, what do we do about this? And they're checking their, you know, Talmud, see who said what about who and where, and the arguments and the,
Yeah, that's their primary
totally
source.
This kind of stuff. They don't.
Well, some of them, the more mystical groups read this stuff. Hasidim read it. But how many people do you know that read this stuff? I mean, nobody.
Just hearing this gives.
Tell them the part about it.
The understanding of God is, you know, after a while. God gets smaller and smaller and smaller to me, but hearing this just—he explodes, and it gives me this incredible sense of security. You know, kind of like God is God. You know?
Amen. Tell him what?
The bit about the well when they got to.
You can tell him.
No, I can't do it without. I can't do it
without. You can.
Crack it up. It's just.
Go ahead.
Well, they navigated. The wise men navigated. Okay.
Yeah.
They followed the star. It says they followed the star. They actually navigated.
Yeah.
And when they got to Bethlehem, it was the middle of the day, and they looked down into a well, and they saw the star, and they knew it was directly overhead, because they could see it in the bottom of the well. In other words, it was a long, deep shaft. Yeah. So the only way you could see it would be if it was directly overhead, and so they knew where they were.
So they went to the well purposely, or they went to the well by accident?
They just got to town, and they went to the well, and they went to draw water out and saw the star.
We're here.
By accident.
Oh, there are no accidents.
By accident, he says.
Like 500 years.
Yeah.
Well, this is the kind of stuff we're going to do from now until... No. No, this isn't. This from now until Hanukkah.
Oh, but I mean, you were talking about going back to the beginnings of the tennis world.
Anybody else? Okay, that's enough. Take it, big guy.